Oh, that's right. Good afternoon. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here on a beautiful, sunny, hot afternoon. Gosh, it's the day after Mother's Day. It's the day after the end of the Symetra tour. Let's just go ahead and do a quick check of the weather. We have right now 90 degrees out there, and we are supposed to get a low of 65. Sun is going to set at 8:20 tonight, and we may have some scattered thunderstorms during the evening, partly cloudy skies after midnight, low, as I said, near 65. Chance of rain is 40%. Tomorrow it's going to be another hot one, folks. High of 91, low of 59, and a 20% chance of rain. And then the rest of the week, it's mid-80s. So today, my golf analyst is here with us today. That's right. It's Dr. Beth Bethel. She is retired from Lander University, and she does a blog called Staying in the Short Grass, correct?
Yes,
Staying in the Short Grass, which is the fairway, in case you didn't know that. Okay. I was corrected the other day, and dutifully note that right here this afternoon. So how are you doing, Dr. Beth Bethel?
I'm doing good, Ann, but you know, I used to be your social commentator and your social change agent.
Yes.
I just seem to keep changing roles, but we never go away from each other.
Well, that's true. Well, since you got back into golf, I mean, I think your life is surrounded by golf, isn't it?
It is. It has become golf-centric.
That's right.
So to speak.
And, gosh, last year I remember you told me you were going to Pinehurst.
Yep.
And you went to Pinehurst.
I went to Pinehurst, covered the U.S. Women's Open.
Yes.
Got to see some really good golf.
Yes.
Really great women golfers.
And are you going back this year?
Well, Pinehurst isn't hosting this year.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's not close by then, I guess.
And then St. Andrews. You know, I covered the Open for St. Andrews Golf Magazine. But they've gone and hired a young LPGA pro,
mm-hmm.
or LPGA experienced golfer, who's taken my place now.
Oh,
I've been replaced by a young girl.
It happens, Beth. It happens.
Oh, gosh.
But we just, of course, had the Symetra tour here. Lots of great things going on. And what an exuberant young lady won from Mexico.
First Mexican winner since 2007, and that's good because Mexico has a terrific amateur golf organizational support system, largely at the agency of Lorena Ochoa, who, for golf fans, for women's golf fans, Lorena Ochoa is queen of golf.
Right.
Yeah, and she's been very instrumental in nurturing young Mexican golfers. So Alejandra, who came away at 10 under par on the links at Stony Point, is one of her products, and I was glad to see her win.
And she was a nail biter, wasn't it? Because weren't they neck and neck,
yeah,
right there?
Yeah, there were three of them right there together. Two at when they started Sunday. Let's see, gosh, I should have brought my score stuff. They were one stroke apart. Alejandra was in the lead, mm-hmm. starting. She stayed in the lead, but it could have swapped back and forth. Any number of ways over those 18 holes, and she just stayed one step ahead.
Now, describe for us how it ended up. Didn't she make a chip shot onto the green?
Yes, she did.
And then it was a tap in, and at that point, did she know she had won?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, all right.
It's got to be over for everybody before she knows she's won.
Right. So, when that moment happened, boy, that really propelled her from a low number of the amount of dollars she'd won over the last year to $30,000.
I think she had won $5,000 coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So think about your annual income jumping from 5 to 30.
I just like to have an income, Beth. But yeah, that was a pretty big jump for her, and that'll pretty much assure her of getting her LPGA card.
Well, let's clear that one up, because she has a very low priority on the LPGA tour. But she's listed as an LPGA player rather than a Symetra tour player. The problem is she has low priority, which means she can't get in every tournament because she's not that good on the numbers.
Right.
And she had played two LPGA events previously this season and missed the cut on both of them. Then she came in tied for eighth last week at the Symetra Tour event at Sarah Bay, the Guardian Retirement Classic at Sarah Bay in Sarasota, Florida. So she may be using the Symetra Tour to kind of sharpen up her skills, which is a good thing to do.
Sure. I actually understand that we have gals that they may get their LPGA card, get on the LPG Tour, not do well, and they bounce them back down to the Symetra Tour and let them polish up so that they can jump back into the LPGA.
Yeah, it's a back and forth thing, I think, for a lot of people. And Jimin and Kang, who was in that top three, is one of those people. The Index did a great piece on her. So anybody who's been looking at the Index knows that Jimin and Kang has dealt with, I mean, she was a big-time winner in 2005, 2006, had 14, I believe, top 10 finishes. So she had a good career going and then hit some medical problems and is having to kind of restart her pro career and is doing it on the Symetra Tour and seems to be playing a very strong game.
No. So it's not just get in there. You've got to stay in there when you get into the LPGA.
Well, yeah, you're supposed to crawl your way up the leaderboard and make money.
Yeah. So what was your feeling, though, about the play on the course by the gals? You were telling me earlier they kind of bunched up in groups.
There were only probably... on Sunday, going into the final round, there were maybe 10 of the field were in the red numbers, were had under par cumulative scores. And I believe the lower part of the board was at 9 over par. So from 9 under par to 9 over par, the range was 18 shots. One shot per hole, if you think about a golf course that way. I think that the players this week found the links at Stony Point a challenging course.
See, now that is good to hear, because these are top-notch golfers that
yes,
were here. And for them to find it challenging, that really says something about the links at Stony Point.
Well, the links is not an easy course. I play that. I played it at the Pro-Am on Monday, thanks to my affiliation with WCRS.
Well, yeah, and you had a good time playing.
I had a fabulous time. Played with one of the young pros and thought, well, she can hit the ball further than I can. But we were having the same kinds of struggles on the greens, she and I.
So as you look back over the Symetra Tour for this last year, of course, this is the second year that it's been going on. How do you think that the perception, did you get to talk to any of the golfers, the perception about the course itself?
They consider it a challenging course.
Yeah.
And, nobody wants to play a course that, part of the reason you play golf is to have this experience with Mother Nature where you test yourself against it. I mean, it's why people skydive, it's why people climb mountains, it's why people run races. You want to test yourself against the natural environment. So you want a course to be challenging at some level. You don't want to play something that's flat and uninteresting. You want to see if you can be better.
Sure. And I know one of the things I think a lot of people were talking about, though, was how much better the course was in shape this year over last year.
But people forget, we had that horrible freeze last year.
Yeah.
The greens were, and it wasn't just Stony Point that had green problems last year as a result of that freeze. I think every golf course in the area was having some sort of problem with their greens because dormant grass just doesn't like weather to be quite as cold as it got.
Sure. But, they did, the Medfords did invest in covers
yes.
for the greens. And I think they had a year under their belt so they could improve and make things a whole lot better. Because when you looked at the course this year, just looking at it over the fairway and everything, it did look a lot better.
Oh, it looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And being on it, as I was on Monday, the fairways were providing just abundant opportunities for good roll and good shots.
There you go. Hey, I tell you what, I'm here with Dr. Beth Bethel. She does a blog. Since she got into golf, she had to have something to do, so now she writes about golf in her blog, Staying in the Short Grass. I'm Ann Eller. We'll be back in just one moment.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here talking about golf, talking about all the things going on. Now, I guess, Saturday, were you out on the course Saturday?
No, I wasn't, but I can talk about Saturday.
Well, I just, being out there, of course, we were up at the Freedom Summit in Greenville, so we weren't out there. But I know that the boats and everything down there on hole 13 was pretty darn interesting, wasn't it?
It really was. But, you know, I think having a party hole on this tour is something that's needed.
Right.
And I like the idea of the party hole. And 13's a great party hole because it's not a hard hole to play. Even really little old lady golfers like me can get the ball on the green. So, you know, there's not a lot of distraction.
Sure. So even if there was a distraction, it wouldn't be that much distraction.
It's just a straight shot, little short shot. Put it up in the air, let it flop down. And so that's the best place to party. I mean, there's some other holes where people got to be quiet. You got to work at it.
Right. And, of course, they had the grandstands out there. They had food out there. Now, tell me about the food. Did you have opportunity to try any of the food out there?
You know, if Grits and Groceries is serving, I'm eating.
Yes, that's excellent.
That's it. And I followed Grits and Groceries. My nose, you know, I can find them almost anywhere.
Okay, yeah. And they were, of course, you went to the brunch on Sunday.
I did.
And that brunch was fabulous.
Grits and Groceries had really fantastic sweet potato biscuits.
Yes, and coq au vin. Did they have the chicken? Yes.
No, they didn't have coq au vin. They had pork and this really great hot gravy, hot spicy. As well as hot, that they were dumping over this pork and these biscuits, and you know, I love biscuits and gravy. I like cream gravy on biscuits. I like brown gravy on biscuits. I like tomato gravy on biscuits. I like any kind of gravy on biscuits.
So we could safely say you're a gravy girl.
Yeah, I am a gravy girl. Okay. And I follow gravy, and Grits and Groceries make some of the best gravy outside what my Aunt Mickey used to make.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good gravy.
Well, they have brought so much here, too. Of course, they're not right here in Greenwood, but they come here to Greenwood every week, whether it's at the Uptown Market.
Yep.
Or whether it is at their restaurant, but being out there at the Links of Stony Point for the Symetra Tour, I know a lot of people probably may have never tried Grits and Groceries, but now they have.
And after you try it at the Links of Stony Point, and after you plan your Wednesday menu around whatever it is that Joe cooks on Tuesday night and brings up to the market, then you have to make the trek up to the Grits and Groceries restaurant at the crossroads of whatever it is. I use my GPS to get there.
Right.
Give Rudy a pat as you go in. Rudy's the big concrete chicken. Sit back, undo the buckle on your belt, and unsnap the button on your pants.
Okay.
And
well,
then
there you go.
Start eating. Just, yeah. I mean, or wear elastic.
Yeah, wear elastic. Okay. All right. Well, they did, of course, a fantabulous job. They had lots of good eats out there for Sunday for Mother's Day brunch. And, of course, we know that it was the largest Mother's Day brunch. I mean, from the desserts to the main course.
Oh,
I know somebody
man.
Was doing coq au vin, I think, and roast beef and all these different things. The pork
loin. Shrimp and grits. Really great shrimp and grits. Good shrimp and grits. Best shrimp and grits I've had outside the Low Country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That's pretty awesome.
In other words, I had a little bit of everything.
And then you went back and had a little bit more?
After I unbuttoned my pants.
Okay, all right. That's enough, Beth. Okay. Well, so overall, as far as looking at this event, what what impressed you the most about the golf tournament?
Now we get serious.
Well, I mean, it could have been the food. It could have been the girl golfers. It could have been the course. It could have been the way they played. I don't know.
I think the opportunity to, and now this is just for me.
Right.
I mean, the opportunity to play with and make the acquaintance of young women athletes mm-hmm. who are making a career was exquisite. The opportunity to come to understand the interconnections between the Symetra Tour and the LPGA and the Legends Tour was also special for me. And let me give you an example. Nancy Lopez is, you know, she's like a shining light.
Right.
And has been helping and guiding and supporting the development of this event for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And it's all, you know, she's all over the place. She's at the hospital ball. And we
she
all
helps
know,
promote it all.
We
yes.
all know Nancy Lopez. She's like a star.
Right.
Okay. On Monday, Lizette Salas and others, but Lizette Salas is the point here, from the LPGA Tour, was helping at the Pro-Am. Well, the LPGA organization has an internal mentoring program, and Nancy Lopez is Lizette Salas' mentor mm-hmm. to Hispanic women, helping each other, supporting each other. And the part of me that's a trained sociologist could not resist eavesdropping on their conversation as we were all getting ready to play the Pro-Am at 7:30 Monday morning.
Right.
And they were standing there side by side, chit-chatting, warming each other up, just obviously very close friends, very warm conversation. Nothing that is worth repeating in the gossip department,
right.
but just there it was, the older golfer and the younger golfer knowing each other and helping each other. Along comes the third Latina, the winner of this tournament, mm-hmm. Alejandra. She also is a part of that mentoring triad because both Salas and Lopez mentor Alejandra.
How about that?
And that's not what made her win. Mm-hmm. But the point for me was to realize that for each woman who played golf, and there were 144 of them,
right.
for each woman who played golf, there's a counterpart on the LPGA Tour standing by. And for each one of those, although there aren't that many legends, I mean,
right.
so they take on several. But for every one of those women, both on the Symetra Tour and on the LPGA Tour, there's a connection with a legend.
That's great.
That provides a kind of continuity and connection to the tradition of women's golf. So for me, watching that process work, seeing it happen up close and personal, made this a really special week.
Wow. You know, that's the thing that you don't get to see, do you? You know, I mean, we don't see that.
We don't see it. We don't know about it.
We may know about some of it, but we don't actually get to see it. So,
yeah.
And of course, it's growing the sport of women's golf.
Yes.
And of course, that's another topic, is how do you grow the sport of women's golf? Even men's golf needs some help. They are desperately in need of young people coming on board and learning the game.
They've got that. We talk about, well, we need to get the youngsters interested. We'll go away from the tour for just a minute and talk about what happened this week at TPC Sawgrass, which is where the Players Championship was contested. But kind of aside from the tournament, there was a meeting of the big dogs. Tim Fincham from the PGA Tour, Mike Hwan from the LPGA Tour, their management counterparts from the USGA, from the Masters Tournament.
And when we come back, we'll talk more about it, because now it's time for South Carolina Radio News. Hey, stay right with us. Give us a call if you'd like, 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafé Cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're here this afternoon. We're not out at the links of Stony Point. We're here in the studio right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. And boy, I tell you what, we've been talking about women's golf. We're talking about kids getting involved. How do we get kids involved in golf is really the question that needs to be answered. You were beginning to tell us that down there at Sawgrass, you know, I lived actually down there at Sawgrass.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, in Ponte Vedra. At one point, it was a much smaller place when I lived there. But you said there was a group of management people that got together to talk about this.
They did. Industry and industry management people and LPGA and USGA Masters Tournament and PGA people. And they were asking the same question. Mm-hmm. What can we do? What are we doing? And what they concluded is that there are a number of programs already in place, already successful, that are drawing young people into golf and drawing older people into golf, too. I mean, the USGA's Get Golf Ready program, which is, I think, 6 lessons for $99, mm-hmm. is something that maybe I need to take.
Okay.
No, I already take lessons. Tommy right. teaches me, so right. Tommy's my coach forever, for a lifetime, yes.
Lifetime coach, okay.
But
a little plug there for Tommy Penley out there at Deer Creek, yes.
Best coach in Greenwood County.
All right, well, there you go.
Girls Golf, the LPGA program, First Tee, Drive, Chip, and Putt, are all programs that are national in mm-hmm. scope, and target bringing young people into the game, growing the game by sustaining it
right.
with the engagement of young kids. And all of those are working. They're okay. slow. You know, you don't take a 5-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 12-year-old and turn them into a dues-paying adult at a golf club in 2 years.
No.
They've got to go to junior high school, college, get a job. And then, so you're talking, this is a 20-year stretch, that we're growing the game at. We can't grow this golf game at a national level or even a local level in a year.
Well, you know, I think it's so interesting back when Tiger Woods first came on the scene, shall we say, everybody was so impressed that he started at, what, 2 or 3
yeah.
or 4 years of age and everything. And there were so many kids that wanted to be the Tiger Woods, the next generation of Tiger Woods. But there hasn't been. I mean, Ben Martin is a big name here in our area for somebody for these kids to aspire to.
But think about how Tiger learned to play golf. He had a father.
Right.
Who was absolutely committed to him being the best golfer in the world. And that father coached him from the time he was a little teeny weeny toddler, mm-hmm. was with him at every event, was by his side through his entire amateur career. So, does it take one parent for every youngster to produce a tournament golfer? The answer is yes, it does.
Wow.
If you don't have a parental commitment, you're not going to have a competitive golfer.
Well, would you say that that's just special to golf, or would you say in a lot of these sports that, you know, whether it's football or basketball or, you know, some of these other sports, doesn't it take that commitment from the parent and making sure that they get there and they go to practice and that this is what they want to do?
Oh, my gosh, you're talking to the woman who agreed to be a T-ball coach because none of the daddies had time to be a T-ball coach.
Right.
And I had a child who wanted to play T-ball, and so I said I could be a T-ball coach, and I was. We lost every game the year that I was the coach. Before the season was over, all the daddies were mad at me.
Did anybody volunteer?
And I said, if you don't like the way I'm coaching, then
please,
you need
come
to
forward.
come and give me some assistance, because I didn't even know the rules when
okay.
I said I'd be a T-ball coach. I believe it takes engaged knowledgeable adults. Mm-hmm. Now, they don't necessarily have to be parents, but typically they are parents, because particularly at the beginning level of athletic involvement, because it's parents who are going to teach those basic skills.
Sure. You know, when I talked to one of the young golfers, gal from first generation from Thailand, her dad was an archer and came here in 1986 mm-hmm. for the Olympics in archery, loved the country, loved everything so much, wanted to stay, very quickly saw that archery wasn't going to be a good career choice for him. Well, he got his visa, he was able to stay, and he went back and went to night school. I mean, great story when you think about this is the immigration system that when we hear these type of things, we go, wow, this is great. Went back to school, became a engineer. Mm-hmm. Took their daughter out at 4 o'clock, a four-year-old out at 7 o'clock in the morning to a golf lesson because he knew that she needed to be involved in some sport and he thought golf might be it. Took her out in her pajamas at 7 o'clock in the morning. She had her lesson. She goes, she distinctly remembers just being in the corner. She was the only girl that was there and just hitting the ball around and just kind of playing and everything. They put her in the car. She went to sleep. When she woke up, she thought it was a dream.
Oh, my.
Right. But he persisted in taking her every week for these lessons, and eventually she goes, I like golf. Yeah. But, you know, she didn't have any vision of it at that point.
And I think that's often the case. And that's okay. I mean, our kids need some kind of guidance and some kind of suggestion on what direction to take. I've never known a kid who came to a parent and said, I'd like to take piano lessons.
Unless they just happen to have seen somebody that was really good that impressed them, but the likelihood of that happening is not usually that great.
No,
yeah.
No. So I think, you know, parents are the first teachers, and where did I get that from? First Steps? I stole that, just blatantly ripped it off. But there's truth in that. Parents are the first teachers.
Sure.
And so we teach what we want our kids to learn.
Sure. And so many kids actually start down that road, then get busy, you know, like they start learning golf. Then they go off in different directions. And, of course, those are the people that quite often in their 30s or their 40s take it back up again.
Yes.
Because it was something they enjoyed.
Yes.
The great thing about golf, it's something you can do all your life. It doesn't have the knee issues or the throwing issues or the team aspect because it is an individual sport.
Yep.
Now, what do you think? Do you think a lot of these gals put a lot of pressure on themselves to perform well? I mean,
well, I think they want to be professionals. And whether you want to be a professional golfer or professional sociologist or professional engineer, you want to crawl up through the ranks. You want to be the best.
Right.
If you have that kind of drive and incentive, then you put pressure on yourself.
Sure. But according to April Powers and so many people that I talk to, and I don't know how you are, do you obsess about an error that you made on the last hole?
No.
No. Okay. Living in the moment is what I understand is you're supposed to do. You're supposed to stay in the moment, and you can't beat yourself up about the past.
My grandmother told me that if I put one foot in yesterday and one foot in tomorrow, I'm going to really mess up today. And that isn't what she said, but that's my edited version for your radio show.
Good.
And that, I think it applies to golf. But the hole that I have finished is over. The hole that I'm getting ready to play next isn't here yet. And the one thing that I have to think about and must think about and focus on is the shot that I am getting ready to make.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we are here with Dr. Beth Bethel. We were just doing a little roundup on the tournament, how it turned out, what she was able to glean from watching and talking to the gals and everything here. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
They say every kiss begins with... But at Sharp Facets Gallery, every smooch begins with Sharp Facets Gallery. Which do you want? A little kiss or a big smooch? I'll bet a big smooch. So shop Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, for rock bottom prices and smooch-able results.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Hey, tomorrow morning we're going to have Jim Medford on for us, with us in the morning show, just to give us a little wind-up in the morning. You know, one of the things he says, next year's theme will be double your pleasure and double your fun. I just want to know, are we going to have Double Mint Gum as a sponsor out there next year?
And the twins. And the Double Mint twins.
That's right. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about this. How is he going to do that? Are there twin golfers out there that he could have right here for this? Wouldn't that be awesome?
He could use Brittany and Brooke Henderson.
Okay.
I mean, they're not twins, but
right. They're sisters, right?
Yeah. And they look like sisters.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe that's what he's thinking. But that's what they're going to do. They're actually going to have a featured Legend Tour tournament as well as the Symetra Tour. So it's going to be even bigger next year. So double your pleasure and double your fun. All right out there at the links. You know, here it is. It's not even over yesterday. And this is what's coming out already. Wow.
Does this mean that I'm just going to be able to continue to ride your coattails back into the Pro-Am again and maybe play with the Legend?
Maybe so. Maybe so. Oh, we'll have to see.
Great.
Great, yes. Well, you know, that is a big part of it. A lot of sponsors really love that part of being able to play with Legends. And, you know, they certainly had a good group of Legends there. About 18 players on the tour, on the Legends, and the Solheim players, too. But let's talk about that. Now, they've raised over $275,000. $30,000 went to the first prize money taker. Now, what about some of the others? There were a lot of educational dollars that were raised here.
Yeah, I love that Greenwood Promise is getting money, because Greenwood Promise makes it possible for any child to get a post-high school education in Greenwood County.
Yeah, it's a promise that if you graduate from Greenwood High or Emerald High or Cambridge, any of the schools here, that you will have the opportunity to go on to college.
Yeah, when I was a young person, those many years ago, I was in a situation where I didn't have the wherewithal to go on to college. I thought I had it, and then it slipped through my fingers in the form of parental irresponsibility, maybe. And I was suddenly in need of $500 that I didn't have.
Right.
And I went to the Rotary Club and I asked for money, and they gave it to me.
Wow. Good story.
$500.
Wow.
They just gave it to me because I had promise.
And then, you know, here we have today the Greenwood Promise. It's a great program.
It's essential. Because, you know, not everybody has a parent who has the ability, the capacity, or the willingness.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And there have been some really tough economic times for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, coming out of school with a lot of debt just is a big, big problem for a lot of these kids to try to make it up the next rung on the ladder.
There are ways to get a college education without incurring $80,000 in debt.
Sure.
You have to be willing to do some things like work part-time, work in the summer, maybe live at home, maybe cut back on your standard of living, maybe ride a bicycle instead of drive a car. There are all kinds of ways to do it, but Greenwood Promise is there, and I'm glad to see it receiving financial support from this tournament.
Absolutely.
It's critical.
Well, you know, Jim Medford and Denise are very much about education, whether it's Piedmont Tech, whether it's even some to Lander. And, of course, then there's other women's charities out there that they have identified as needing money, because so many of these charities, I've talked to a lot of them, and all they look at is till the money runs out, then what do they do? And then the money runs out, and what do? They write a grant. They try to get enough money to keep their doors open. But for some of these to be able to have the financing for a year, it is just unbelievable for
them. Or to finance a particular special program that targets women's issues or women's health issues. It's very critical. I mean, you know, there are a lot of very worthwhile local organizations who do need support. And I think the Greenwood County Community Foundation is a way to make sure that a portion of the funds from this golf tournament get funneled directly into deserving organizations with meritorious programs.
Sure, absolutely. So that was a great way. They raised over $275,000. Last year it was $250,000. This year it was $275,000.
Well, that's inflation for you, Ann.
That's inflation. I think it's probably the goodwill of everybody who looked and said, this is definitely a worthwhile program to participate in. And, of course, that's what, you know, having it running a good charity event does. It raises dollars and raises awareness also to the organizations that need the help.
Let me just point out that golf raises more charity money in 1 year. Golf, pro golf, men's and women's pro golf raises more money for charity in 1 year than pro football does in a decade.
Wow.
Let me just lay that one on the table.
Wow.
Does that just lay you back?
Why is that?
Because golf is a sport with a conscience.
Sport with a conscience. Okay. Are you saying football doesn't have a conscience?
Well, one might conclude that.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, you know, you're in South Carolina. You better be careful of what you're speaking of on football here now, Ben.
Well, I know, but you know, I'm a boomer sooner. I know all about football mania.
Right. But you know, that is pretty awesome when you look at the contributions that it has made. So when you're thinking about being involved in the tournament, you know, next year is not too far away, as Jim Medford would say. So he's already planning next year. I can't hardly believe it, but he is already planning next year. So they're going to add the Legends Tour tournament as well as the Symetra Tour. So, gosh, I wonder how that's going to work. I mean, you're going to have tournaments going all week then.
Well, no, I think the Legends Tour only goes two rounds. I believe the Legends don't get into the competition until Saturday.
Oh, okay.
If they do it like they did at the Chico Patty Burke.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll have to see what the Medford man, Jim Medford, says tomorrow. But if you didn't make it out there, you really missed a lot. Can you believe the weather out there, Beth? I mean, the weather was phenomenal all week long.
You know, I was sort of laid out in my comfy chair, sitting down in the shade at the second hole, and every now and then I'd stand up and I had a paddle.
Yes.
That said, quiet, please. It's on Facebook. I put it on Facebook.
Right.
I really loved having that paddle. It gave me authority and control, and I could just stand up and say, quiet, please.
Would that have made a difference when you were teaching at Lander?
You know.
To have had a paddle like that? Quiet, please. I'm talking here.
Wes Bethel said that he thought probably I had a stick in the other hand and I was beating people.
All right. Well, now, have you written anything for staying in the short grass yet off the tournament?
Yeah, I have. I wrote about playing in the Pro-Am. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm also now the the editor of Pro Golf Now, the fan-sided Sports Illustrated online golf blog, the global. I've had a little promotion. And so a good bit of what I've written about this event has gone into Pro Golf Now. ProGolfNow.com. Just log on and read.
That's right. And do they have to look for your name, or, well, is it just part of a bigger blog, just out of curiosity?
Well, you could search for my name, but my stuff is fairly prominent.
Fairly prominent. Okay, there you go. You know, did you ever consider that you would be doing a blog on golf when you didn't even know what a blog was, if I remember correctly?
I didn't know what a blog was. I never thought this would happen, but it is great fun.
It is great fun. And being an author, I know it's been a great way for you to connect the sport that you love, golf, with writing.
Yep.
So check it out. Also, you can go to, now if people want to see your blog, Staying in the Short Grass.
Go to the Index Journal. Click on Sports. Then click on Columnists. And I am a drop-down menu on Columnists. The Index linked me and my blog because they like what I write, but they just don't want to pay me.
Right.
And that's okay. They don't need to pay me. Others pay me.
Right.
You know. So you can get to Staying in the Short Grass through the Index Journal, or you can just go to Google and type in Elizabeth Bethel, Staying in the Short Grass, search, and it'll take you there.
It'll take you right there. Now, what's up next for you project-wise? What are you going to be working on?
You know, I'm trying to add a new writer. Being an editor has problems. That, you know, you've got staffing issues.
Right. If you have no staff, you really have issues. Yes,
yes,
go ahead.
That's true. The collegiate, the NCAA collegiate championships are coming up. The men's in late May and the women's in early June, 2 weeks back to back. A lot of coverage for these two championships this year. And I'm looking for a writer who wants to write for Pro Golf Now. Oh, maybe I'll advertise here for just a minute.
Okay.
And focus on collegiate and amateur golf.
Okay.
So that's what's coming up, is I'm getting ready to start covering collegiate and amateur golf.
Yeah, do they have to be able to go to it, or can they just watch it on TV?
I think you can get it on TV, yeah. But, we don't, since we don't have a travel budget.
It's very cheap. Very cheap, yes, but it has a good time. Yes, shoestring. Hey, I tell you what, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Dr. Beth Bethel, thanks so much for coming in and sharing some of your opinions this afternoon.
My pleasure. I have so many. Thank you for letting me share them.
All right. This is WCRS. Bye-bye, everybody.